be here with you this morning. And two things right off the hop that I wanna notice, and I hope that you've noticed. Number one, aren't bass players the coolest people on the platform? And the reason I say that is because bass players often go unnoticed, right? And secondly, the reason I'm glad to be here this morning is because I needed to get my Scottish on. And to walk in and to be met and prayed for by Doug Smart was just the greatest blessing this morning. So good to see you again, Doug. Thanks so much. Compassion International exists to be an advocate for children, to be an advocate for children, to release them from their spiritual, economic, social, and physical poverty, and to enable them to become responsible, fulfilled Christian adults. Now, if I was to say that in short, the easiest way to do that would be to say this: compassion exists to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And if you were to sum up our ministry in one phrase, it would be this: we are a holistic child development organization. Now, that might sound a little bit dull to you, but it's a really key concept in the ministry that Compassion has around the world. It means that we don't just simply show up and provide food to a child or simply give them a Bible. Instead, we seek to develop the whole person, the whole child, is in all aspects of their lives, in their minds, in their bodies, and in their relationships, all the while they are discovering God's love for them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that makes this organization very child-focused. And why do we focus on children? You know the reason for that is because children are the most vulnerable population in the world today. From a very early age, they are exposed to, in these developing countries, they're exposed to sexual abuse, they're exposed to violence, abandonment, human trafficking. And they are told repeatedly that they are worthless, that they have no hope, that they will never amount to anything. And before too long, they begin to believe it. And they believe that their future will be the same as their present. And they lose hope, and the cycle of poverty, I would suggest to you, continues. So building into a child's life, as you know from raising your own kids, is all about telling them that they are valuable, telling them that they have worth, telling them that they matter and that they have potential. And all of this builds hope into the life of a child. And when there is hope, again, let me suggest to you that the cycle of extreme poverty is broken. And ultimately, we want the children, we want their families, and we want their communities to know that their eternal hope is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Exactly the same as it is for you and me here in Canada. And that's what makes our program, what we are doing around the world, centered on Christ. You know, if you go back and look at the opening chapters of the Bible, you'll see that there's a world there in which everything is perfect, one that God declares is really good. It's very good. So God, humanity, and the rest of creation, they live in perfect harmony. And it's a world in which poverty doesn't exist. But when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, they set in motion a whole series of events that would turn God's good creation into one where poverty is now going to be the default setting. Now, that might seem a little gloomy, but there is some really good news. And that really good news is that Jesus came to set people free from this curse. Now, that doesn't mean that God promises that those who come to faith will have health and wealth, because the effects of sin will remain at play in a fallen world. But what it does mean is that if poverty, at its very basic level, is a spiritual issue, that it's the result of sin, then there is an eternal solution. There is a day coming when poverty will finally and fully end, a day when Jesus will return and bring about his new creation. Now, it doesn't mean that we stop trying to make things better and improve things in the here and now. But this is the hope that we look forward to. This is the hope that we have in Christ. And this is the hope that has transformed hundreds and thousands of lives of children through the Compassion Ministry. The gospel deals with the root of poverty. And I would suggest to you this morning that the root of poverty is sin. And so to truly release children from poverty, we believe at Compassion that we must care for their physical needs. That's important. And we must share the only message that offers the forgiveness of sins, the freedom from the curse, and ultimately reconciliation with our Creator, God in heaven. And we do all of that work. We do it through the local church. We have over 7,000 implementing church partners in 25 countries around the world. And Compassion works exclusively with the local church because they can best understand and respond to the challenges of their community. Your church here is going to know best what's going on in Transcona. I live in River Heights, and, you know, they're all kind of uppity in River Heights. Not that I am, but because I moved into it. But you are going to best understand what's happening in this community. And you, just like the implementing churches that we have around the world, you know best the struggles. And you're trusted by your neighbors, and you're able to reach into your community and touch those greatest needs. What's more, the church is the institution that God ordained to carry out his work. Compassion really exists to enable the church to fulfill her mission of making disciples of all nations and caring for those in the greatest of need. So this means that the local church is resourced by Compassion with the tools, the training, and the financial resources that are necessary for the local church to be part and fulfill the Great Commission. So I could go on and on and on and show you lots of pictures, tell you lots of great stories about the work that Compassion is doing around the world. But I thought this morning it might be a little bit more appealing to you if I could introduce you to a young man who knows firsthand what it means to be a sponsored child with Compassion. Would you welcome this morning here to Transcona for the very first time, Luciano Latouche. This is Luciano's first time to Winnipeg. And Luciano, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and where you're from?
Hello. First, thank you. I'm really honored to be here. I'm Luciano Latouche. I am from Haiti. I was a Compassion child for 17 years. I was supported by Compassion since I was 3 years old, and I spent 17 years in the program. And then after that, I spent 2 years working in my local church for Compassion. So, yeah, I'm from Haiti. I have a little brother. I live with my mother, and she is also a believer, and I'm very thankful for that. Today is Mother's Day in Haiti, and I'm looking forward to calling her. Yeah.
Did you call your mom?
Not yet.
You better
to come here first.
You know, a good son is going to call her mom. Yeah. A good son is going to call her mom. Yeah. So, 17 years you were a sponsored child?
Yes.
Wow. What was that like? What was it like to be sponsored for 17 years?
It's a great privilege to be a sponsored child in Haiti because of the various things that the program provides us with. You wake up in the morning, you go to school, and after that, I had to learn a lot of stuff for Compassion, music, art, and poetry and all this stuff. Sometimes I would go to school at 8 and then go back home at 4 or 5, like just staying and learning in the program. And then Compassion as a curriculum. It's this curriculum that they use to teach the kids about God, about their emotional, their physical lives as well. So we had to go every Saturday and in the local church and learn about all this stuff.
So. Wow. So 17 years in the Compassion program, that means that you had a sponsor?
Yeah.
Tell us about your sponsor.
His name is Chris Miller. He's probably the same age as me because when I was 9, he sent me a letter and he was 9 too. And I since then I haven't heard from him. So, yeah.
You haven't heard had any more letters from him?
I had only one.
Oh, you only had one letter?
Yeah.
From him. Okay.
That was the only one. And
so
if
you were to tell Chris anything, what would you tell him today?
That I'm really thankful for the fact that he committed for 17 years sponsoring me with the program, but also I wish I had more letters.
More letters. Okay, good. Do you know where Chris is from?
Not exactly. I know he's from the States, but
okay.
I don't know which
one. So what brought you to Canada? Tell us that story.
Because of Compassion International, I was really committed to my local church in Haiti and to the youth group. And I became a leader at my youth group. And there is Global Partners missionaries that work with the Wesleyan Church. And a couple of years ago, they organized a conference in Haiti for youth pastors. And I went to that conference, and they said that at the end of the conference, they were going to choose 2 students. Out of 200 leaders that were there, and I applied. So I didn't know where I was coming. I knew it was Canada. I didn't know it was Kingswood University, which is a college at New Brunswick. So I applied, and then I got the scholarship. So
You're at Kingswood University in Sussex, New Brunswick?
Yeah.
Okay, and what year are you studying in?
I'm studying youth ministry, and I just finished my second year.
Second year, so yeah. Two more years?
2 more years, including my internship.
So tell us what your plan is when you finish school.
When I'm done, the plan is to go back to Haiti and to sort of give back to people there, sort of equipping other youth pastors and investing in the lives of young people there.
So will you go back to your own community?
I will be around I don't know if it's going to be exactly in my, local community, but I will be around in the same department working with the Global Partners missionaries.
Okay, so many of these people would remember that on January 12th in 2010, there was a magnitude 7 earthquake that completely devastated Haiti.
Yeah.
You were there at that time. You were a part of that earthquake.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what that was like?
Yeah, it was terrible and terrifying. It was. I remember sitting in my yard. My mom was cooking. My grandmother was there as well. And at 4:30 or something, the earth started shaking. And there is a myth I don't know if it's a myth, but people say there's like a void underneath my home
city.
Like a big
empty space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when it happened, it was the first thing that came to my mind. And I was like, oh, we're going down. But while the earth was shaking, I stood up and ran and fell. And there was that fence that surround our house. It's concrete. And I saw it sort of going back and forth, and I was down and I looked at it and it went back and forth and then it fell on the other side. So yeah, it was, and then it went dark. It was it went dark, and you hear all these stories of people dying, of people missing all at once. And yeah, it was a sad moment. But in the middle of it all, what was really, really cool is that you, like, everybody was raising their hands and cried out to God. And, like, God used even this moment of sorrow and sadness to bring people to him. And it was cool seeing that, too.
It's interesting that God used this moment of sorrow and sadness to bring mm-hmm. people to him. How did it affect your family, the earthquake?
We didn't have people that, like, in my close family that died, but I knew a lot of people that I knew in my community died, and some of them, well, right now, paralyzed. And yeah.
So did you lose some close friends?
No. Actually, we lost a compassion child in my local church, and she died just last year. She was hit in the head, and people didn't know that. And in a week time last year, she got paralyzed, got a fever, and got blind, and then died. Like, it was like 6 years after she was hit in the earthquake. So the effect is still there. Some people still have the post-traumatic disorder from that too. So
when you look at Luciano, you're beginning to see the impact that sponsorship has in the life of a young man. But one of the things that we haven't talked about, Luciano, is how did you come to faith? How did you become a Christ follower?
And this is where compassion has played, like, the greatest role in my life. Like, growing up, sometimes I would wake up in the morning, like, when I was a kid, I would be like, oh, today I'm not going to church. But since it's a requirement when you're in the program to go to church, my mom made sure that I went to church. And sometimes she came to my room and found me and kind of forced me to go to church. And then
that doesn't happen here in Canada.
Yeah. Until I developed that deep sense of belonging and love to the church. And one of the it's kind of the cornerstone of my faith. I remember my mom was spiritually sick when I was 14, and then I was about to get baptized at this time, and I prayed for her, and she got healed in the name of Jesus. And this is right now, like, you know, as Christians, sometimes we have moments of doubts and stuff like that. This is one of the things that I, like, looking back, I remember that the name of Jesus is powerful, and it can do again and again and again. Yeah.
How's your mom today?
Good. She's a committed believer in my local church, and yeah.
You mentioned that when you came to faith, accepted Christ, became a part of the church, you had a sense of belonging. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. What happens in Haiti, I don't know if it's like people, there isn't a lot of jobs and stuff like that. And people have time, like, to judge people and stuff like that. And they also judge the local churches and the way Christians live. And I became very sensitive to the way, like, people talk about the church. And not only that, I felt that it was my responsibility to fight for the name of God in my community. And I started to just get involved more in the things that are going on in my local church.
So, compassion has had a tremendous impact in your life. It provided the basic elements that you needed, some physical needs,
yeah,
some
yeah.
cognitive, helped you with your education,
yeah, yeah.
helped you with medical issues, and also introduced you mm-hmm. to Jesus.
Yeah.
all because of a young man mm-hmm. somewhere in the United States named Chris Miller
yeah.
decided he was going to sponsor you.
Yeah.
This morning, as you're standing in front of this group of people, what would you want to say to people here that might be considering sponsoring a child this morning?
Yeah. The short answer would be, do it. But, I want to say that this past week, I'm actually working in the West End camp in New Brunswick, and the director told me that if you want to get away with anything, just get to know what the leader wants, and you can get away with anything as long as it's not illegal. So I think that one of the ways to get closer to God and is to know like what is it that God wants, what is God's heart is after. And if we look at the New Testament and the work of Jesus Christ, Jesus' heart was after the poor and after the people that other people can see. And sometimes I feel like the church in general considers compassion as an extra ministry, but I feel like it's the highest calling that we're answering. And Compassion International provides a great way to do that. And yeah, I would encourage you to really do it.
There you go. Just do it, right? But let me take just a couple of minutes and show you a video that might help you understand just a little bit more. So if the guys at the back could run that video.
That voice above us is never quiet. I'm not worth anything. I'm ugly. Nobody loves me.
I was holding my baby sister when she died. She got a cold and she never got better.
I'm hungry. My family shared one egg for dinner last night. My stomach hurts.
Is God real? Will he send someone to help me?
My name is Grace. No one ever tell me they love me. I'm looking for hope.
Hope. Let it go. Those pictures of kids in poverty are heartbreaking. But someone else will sponsor Grace, right?
I'm all about making a difference, but where am I going to get the money?
Sponsoring a child would teach my kids so much, but I don't have time for one more thing.
Grace, you still need a sponsor. No more excuses. I'm doing this now. God works in mysterious ways. He pursues us. He interrupts our lives wherever we are. Our excuses are no match for his plans for us. If he's whispering to your heart, will you listen?
I used to think I was ugly, but my sponsor thinks I'm beautiful.
My sponsor was the first one to say, you can be anything that you want to be.
My sponsor told me Jesus loves me and he has a plan for me.
My sponsor's name is Hope and she loves me.
When I was a young man, I just shied away from this whole big issue of poverty. It just seemed like too overwhelming an issue for me to have any impact in it, to even begin to make a dent in it. And then so I did what a lot of people do. I just ignored it. I did nothing. And then one day I heard, while I was reading in a book, and they quoted Mother Teresa, and Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. And all of a sudden, that big, overwhelming problem came down real simple. I can make an impact in the life of one child. And so I began to look for an organization that I could do that with, and landed on Compassion. That's my story. If you don't sponsor kids this morning, that's okay. That's okay. We all are in different stations of life. But you can change that this morning. You can make an impact and build into a child's life this morning. We've got some great volunteers at the back with children from around the world. And how do you say it again? Is Merlene? Yeah. I showed this young lady to Luciano. She's from Haiti. And I don't know if you realize this, but the big smile came across your face just simply from seeing this young lady. But you can stop by. We can help you sign up. You can begin to make a difference in the life of a child. You've heard what happens in the life of a young man who's now 26 studying to be in the ministry. But if you do sponsor a child, thank you. Thank you so much. You are having a tremendous impact, but I do have a challenge for you this morning. For those of you that are already sponsored, would you consider sponsoring another one? It's very simple, very simple. For my wife Susan and I, all these years of being connected with Compassion, and I've only worked for them for 4 years, sponsorship is really a discipleship issue for us, and it's a worship issue. It's part of what it means to follow and be in relationship with Jesus. This past February, I had the opportunity to go to Ecuador. And I was in a little village or a little town called Otavalo. And I met for probably the fifth or sixth time a young man named Michael Esperez. Susan and I have been sponsoring Michael for 11 years. We started at when he was 6 years old, and he's now 17 and about to start college. I've had the opportunity to meet him a number of times before because I've had privilege to be in Ecuador. But in all the times that I'd met him, this never happened until this past February. We were leaving his home, and Michael grabbed me by the arm and pulled me back and turned me around, and he looked square in my eyes, and he said, Mark, he said, you know that I love you. Thanks for believing in me. And he gave me a big hug, turned around, walked away. Never in my life would I have expected that from a 17-year-old young man. It makes a difference. It makes an impact. Thanks for welcoming Luciano. Thanks for welcoming Compassion this morning. Stop by the table and make a difference in a kid's life.